I know that he...
How about that? Everybody's so excited.
Yeah, really. Fired up and ready to go.
Hey, let's do this. All right. Well, we have a birthday, right, Ms. Parker?
Yeah, it is the season.
Happy birthday.
Hey, hey.
You want to lead us in the pledge?
I figured that's probably what it meant.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
All right. Ann?
Here.
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 Here. Here.
All right, that's good. Those strike you. All right, so this is our opportunity for public comment. Any members of the public that would like to speak on items that are not on the agenda? Okay.
Hi, my name's Tom Brokaw. I'm the chairman of your advisory committee, and I just thought I'd introduce myself so you can put a face with the name. So I was nominated by Lou Calcagno back around 2002, 2001. It's been a while. But it's been a real pleasure. Very impressive working with the staff and Richard. Great job. I just really admire the work you guys are all doing. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve with you. There was one comment that I was asking to make, but it looks like Richard's already taken care of it as usual. But we reviewed the website, the new website, and very exciting. And I had asked that we add one more tab to that for climate change. I realize it's a sensitive topic to some people, but 97% of the science community are convinced that it's climate change is real and it's human related. And unfortunately, only about 1 in 5 people are aware of that. And about 60% of the general population seem to concur with that. So I think what we have is not a political problem, but an informational and educational problem. So I'd ask that we add some information on the website to help enlighten the public as to the facts. They are scientific facts, and try to provide as much information as we can. It's getting pretty critical. I just read yesterday in the news CO2 levels measured at 415 this year and projected to be 500 within 30 years. So we really badly need to get the information out there. And I trust the American public to make the right decisions if you give them the correct information. But apparently there's huge gaps in the information. So thank you for adding that, Richard. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other members of the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to reports. The Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee met. We reviewed several of the items that will be on the agenda this afternoon. We did make a recommendation on the proposed 1920 budget to the full board. Good discussion on just priorities and, you know, what's before us. So we're very supportive there. And I think that's about it. And we'll move on to our advisory committee. So given that Chair Brokaw is here, you might even chime in if you'd like. Usually Rich covers that, so however you want to do it, Rich.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So we did meet on May 2nd of this month, and the advisory committee received a report on the district's outreach strategies and activities, including a preview of our video. We received a lot of comments on the video. Hopefully we can take those to heart and make the video much better. We also reviewed MBARD's new website, which went live on Monday, and we received comments from the advisory committee on the website. And in general, I think there were a lot of really positive comments and some really good constructive comments. And as our chair, Mr. Brokaw, mentioned, you know, one of the comments was that we should get more involved with climate change, at least, even though we don't have the regulatory enforcement authority to deal with it at this level, it's an information issue. We are an air district. And we thought that was absolutely appropriate. And actually, so if you go on our website now, you'll be forwarded a tab to the California Air Resources Board and their climate change page, which is, it's not original material on our part, but we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. And there are links on their climate page as well to other information sources, both at the local, national, and international level. So it's a start. We hope to populate that page with more specific local information, such as links to climate action plans and that sort of thing. And then once we do adopt some greenhouse gas emission thresholds for projects in our three-county jurisdiction, that also will be there. So it's a good start, and we know that there's more to do, but the new website is very much buildable, and we've got a nice content management system that allows us to expand and adapt. So that's primarily what we went through, and as I said, it was a very good session. And this is trying to get the advisory committee more involved in what we do and providing the staff as well as the board more assistance in doing air quality management.
Anything else? Any questions regarding the advisory committee report? Seeing none. Cool. We'll move on to comments and referrals from the board members. Anybody have anything good for the... I'll just share the Seaside Earth Day event was awesome. The EV test drive that the district had a hand in and the other partners was really wonderful. You know, I really love the engagement. You know, at the gym the other day, I saw the Air District commercial on KSBW. So the outreach is good, getting our word out there and being positive is really neat. And really thrilled with the announcement and rollout of the Monterey Bay EVIC, the Electric Vehicle Incentive Program. I thought that went well. The press certainly have, you know, shared that information. And maybe just as a means of, you know, getting the word out, maybe to the board it might be helpful. I think there's a one-page flyer in English and Spanish. Maybe share that so we can share it with our jurisdiction. That's a real step forward and a success of, you know, the district working with Monterey Bay Community Power. So if there's nothing else, we'll go to Rich for your report.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. So first of all, I want to introduce Rosa Rosales, who is Joyce's replacement. So she started on Monday. So Rosa's been with us for the past 5 years as an administrative and fiscal specialist. She knows a lot about our work already and is a star performer. And it was just natural for her to assume this position. So she's got big shoes to fill, but she's already doing a great job. And so I wanted to welcome her. And then also I wanted to mention that we're currently recruiting for an air quality technician, and applications are due this Friday, and we hope to have interviews in the next couple of weeks. In our engineering division, staff interviewed two potential vendors for a document management system. Our next step is to contact the vendors' references and make a final decision, and we'll bring the contract forward to the board in June. We received three proposals for a new permit compliance and emission inventory database system. I wonder if that spells anything, not really. But this will be replacing the Track-It system we previously had. And we have hopes that we can put together a package that makes sense for the district and is not overreaching for the vendor to complete. Staff also participated in a quarterly coastal cannabis program forum on May 10th. Forum included a discussion of industrial hemp and a guest speaker from the California Cannabis Authority. The meeting provided a networking opportunity to understand cannabis-related challenges and successes both within our local jurisdictions and areas, other areas of the state. On May 13th, the California Air Resources Board released a 25-day notice of public availability for proposed regulation of the reporting of criteria air pollutants and toxic air contaminants. We're working with our sources to let them know about this, these new reporting requirements coming down the pipe. It's onerous, just to be sure. We're going from maybe 30 facilities to about 875 facilities that will be captured under this program. It's going to get down and cause a lot of problems for some of the smaller operators. So in essence, the regulation initially required anybody emitting over, you know, hundreds of tons. Now it's getting down to the 4-ton range, which touches most of our sources. So we'll be working with them. We've met several times with the state. We had a lot of concerns and comments. And I won't say they blew us off, but they didn't really take them into consideration. So there may be some legal fights down the road through California Air Pollution Control Officers Association and so forth. But this, once again, is the state getting involved in regulating stationary sources of air pollution, which is, by law, the charge to local air agencies. So setting up for somewhat of a confrontation, but we're always looking for a way to work through that. On planning and air monitoring, so our update is was meant, website has been updated. So it's been improved for navigation, faster access to information, compliance with legal transparency. So even the colors are supposedly correct for folks that have color blindness and so forth. And it provides an overall cleaner and less cluttered look. So information about the district's permitting, grant, and compliance programs can be found on the website, as well as the official air monitoring for the region. And so the website's available at the same web address. I would just caution, we've got an issue. If you don't put www in, it sometimes takes you to our old website. So if you just do mbar.org, we're not sure what that issue is. We've let them know. You can also get to the website by going to montereybaycleanair.org. Monterey Bay, as was mentioned by the chair, Monterey Bay Community Power and the district launched the Monterey Bay Electric Vehicle Incentives Program on May 1st with a ride and drive event at Monterey City Hall. The two agencies teamed up to provide incentives for alternative fuel vehicle purchases and leases this year. So MBCP is running the buy local phase of the program, which runs through July 31st. Buy local offers significant discounts off MSRP plus additional Monterey Bay Community Power funded incentives on EVs purchased from participating local dealers or select manufacturers for models. And you have to be a Monterey Bay Community Power customer to be eligible. So this works pretty seamlessly. There's no paperwork that's due up front or on the back end. They bought down the price for some of these vehicles. So they are only certain vehicles. I don't have a list of them, but you can ask about it, go to their website. I understand it may be very difficult to find some things, but once you've found a dealer, then you can go in and negotiate your price, and hopefully you'll take advantage of the buy down. And then after July 31st, our program takes effect. And that's going to be business as usual, and has been for the past 3 years. So this does require the customer to do some upfront work in regards to applying for the incentive. And so we just want to make sure you can go to any dealer. For instance, in the Monterey Bay Community Power Program, Tesla is not participating. But you can buy or lease a Tesla under our program or wherever you want to get it. Within our three-county jurisdiction, or if you can find a better deal elsewhere, you can go there, realizing that the tax monies do come back to here and the registration as well. So our incentive program will range from $200 for a motorcycle purchase or lease to $1,500 for a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle. So we're also going not only electric but to other sources of energy. The district just signed an agreement with the CARB to receive $35,000 in support of the district smoke management program, which includes permitting and air monitoring for prescribed burns. In order to prevent record-breaking wildfires like those we've experienced last year, the governor and legislature are providing state and local agencies with funds to support an increase in prescribed burning. And this is actually timely, and this is great because A couple of years ago, I brought to the board a fee package for us to charge for these services. And it wasn't really popular and didn't really make muster. So now the state is actually giving us the money to do this work. So that's really going to be great. So we'll be more actively involved in prescribed burning. And the motto this season, it's sort of my motto, but feel free, is burn it before it catches on fire. So we're going to see a lot of prescribed burning. And I think we're going to have a lot of upset public members because of that, because they'll start seeing and experiencing smoke. The upside is that at least it's not because of a out-of-control wildfire. Hopefully these things will be well in control, and we can manage the smoke and have burns take place when the weather and meteorology are optimal. Otherwise, you know, when you have high winds and fuel stacked up, it's just going to be a conflagration, and the air quality can get significantly worse. Building, we're going to be holding a mandatory bid conference scheduled for 2 p.m. on Thursday, May 23, here at the office. So basically a job walk for the painting of the building. And then the bids for that will be due on June 12th, Wednesday. And then we'll open them and read them and then select the bid provider. I should also mention, too, this is interesting how small a world. We were supposed to remove a danger tree on the side of our building. Well, it turns out our vendor did not have compliant engines for their chippers. So we let them know, and now they're sort of just stonewalling us. But we said, regardless if you do the job or not, you're still going to have to get state-compliant engines. So this is one of the issues we're having with some of these portable pieces of equipment, is they can be used all over the state. You can get, if you want to use it throughout the state, you get a permit through the state or registration through the state. It's called PERP, Portable Equipment Registration Program. And or you can get a permit through the district. And we're finding that cement truck pumpers, those little things that pump the cement, chippers, and a whole host of other types of generators and engines that are not used to drive or propel a vehicle. They're subject to the PERP regulations. And some of these guys are operating on slim margins. So buying a new engine or a new pumper or a new chipper is well beyond their means. So unfortunately, state law has given them a number of years to comply, and folks have sort of disregarded that. In fact, I think this one vendor still doesn't get the message that he's supposed to get compliant engines, even though we told him several times. So we hope to get that tree removed as quickly as possible now that we've sort of told the world that it's a danger tree. And if you've seen our parking lot, we have a cordon off, because that thing could go in at any time. So there's some liability associated with that. Then an outreach, I just wanted to remind the board, we'll have the Clean Air Leaders Award on May 16th at Wedgwood Carmel. Rancho Cañada Club is the former name for the facility. And we just signed on an illustrious speaker to give a talk for that that dinner. And that is none other than Director Friend. He did such a great job last year. It's unanimous to get him back. Also, we're going to be having a booth at the 100th anniversary celebration for the SS Palo Alto, which is also known as the cement boat, at Seacliff Beach on June 1st. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Questions for the Air Force Patrol Director? I'm going to miss Mark, for a personal reason. So, but everybody else, I'm hoping, will be there for the Clean Air Leaders Award. Okay. Maybe just a quick question, Rich, on those new regulations that are coming down the pipeline for carbon. Is that an example of unfunded mandate where they're asking us to regulate and overstepping really what we may already be regulating, and it's going to be an additional cost burden? I mean, is there anything that you've done, I guess, maybe?
So the answer is, unfortunately, it's not really. They're actually giving us money. When we go through the budget, we're getting about $3 million more than we typically get in an annual basis. So they're using money from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. And so I'm not sure how that really ties into all the work they're trying to get us to do, but we are receiving significant monies in grants to do some of this work. So we can't complain there. So, yeah, I guess the answer is it's not unfunded yet, but it is a considerable amount of workload. And I do have, and we are concerned for our facilities who are not receiving any additional dollars from the state to do this work. And their workload is going to go up as well because the reporting is going to be so onerous for them.
Stay tuned there. Okay, so with that, there's no other questions or comments. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have four items there. I just thought I'd make a comment on item 10, just very briefly. I'm going to attend this California Flat Solar Project dedication. You may be there as well. There may be others. Yeah, it's a significant achievement, and the district has a commendation, and I'm sure the county will as well. Anybody want to pull any of the items from the consent agenda? Okay, so then is there a motion for items 8 through 11 on the consent agenda? Mm-hmm. Moved by Lopez.
Second.
Seconded by Coonerty. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody from the public wishing to pull or comment on any of these items? Okay, so we have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Move on to the regular agenda, and item 12 is our first hearing on the proposed budget for fiscal year 19-20. So with that, Gosha, would you like to? Okay.
I'm going to spare Rosa this today. So I'll be Joyce for today. And Joyce was kind enough before she left to help walk us through and develop this budget. And so I've got a little over PowerPoint to show you the highlights of the budget. So first couple of slides just shows you some our revenue history from 1999 through almost present. I have to update this slide, but basically, the trends remain the same. We're sort of leveling off around $500,000 for our major source fees, and especially with that reduction received from the power plant. And then you're seeing we're also leveling off in our permit fee category. Those have gone down over the years relative to, you know, how much we're taking in. The DMV revenue history, so this is cumulative over time from 1999. The program started back in 91. I don't have the data going back that far, but of course we're seeing a steady increase. For this year, we're seeing an additional couple million dollars. So the DMV has been going up. That's tied to vehicles, the number of vehicles in the area, so that's what we would expect. So with respect to the district organization, very little has changed over the previous year. We did reclassify a couple of positions, namely we had some air monitoring specialists 2 in a series of 1 to 3. We reclassified the 2s to senior air monitoring specialists, and that's where they top out now. And then we also changed the designation of a administrative assistant senior to an air quality technician. This is sort of a stem cell position, I like to call it, a position that can be used throughout the district and can gain experience to actually have a career path anywhere within our division. So it's not just stuck in the administrative mode, which the administrative assistants series was. So we're really happy to see that take effect, and that's what we're interviewing hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that position for. We do have an air monitoring technician position that is still on the chart. We're going to keep it there for this year in case we have some sort of need, but we anticipate that position will fall away most likely next year. So the budget in brief, these are sort of the highlights. So this is a total budget of $19 million. And in past years, we're sort of hovering around $15, $16 million. So much of this is because of the increase in grant funds that the state has provided to the district for implementation of those programs, such as the Community Air Protection, AB 617. We are proposing a permit fee increase, and we have a hearing later to discuss that. That's 4.5% for most of the fee gap categories, 10% for asbestos permit fees, just because we're not really able to capture cost recovery on our asbestos program. I think we're a little light on our fees as compared to other districts throughout the state. So that 10% increase is not above board or anything like that. And then we've decided not to have any change to that's gasoline dispensing facilities, also known as gas stations, just because they're pretty well regulated and they pay relatively good fees already. So increasing that amount, we don't really have a workload associated with that. So we decided that we'll keep them steady, which is maybe one of the reasons we didn't have a lot of comment on this budget, because those guys would probably be one of the first to comment if there was a proposed increase. There's also a proposed increase to the city and county per capita fees. That's 4 cents. To 47 cents per person. We have not gotten any comment on that. That's still been, we've had that fee back a number of years ago. It's stayed level at 30 cents for about 20 plus years. So only recently have we been increasing that at our budgets. So as I was explaining earlier to the budget and personnel committee, if you ever get asked by somebody how much they pay for clean air, it's 47 cents, which is a pretty good deal. And then, of course, the county, you cover that cost. So it's actually free. I always like when I'm out speaking about saying, how much do you think you pay for clean air? And people come up with all sorts of dollar amounts. I said, no, it's only 47 cents, and the county or city pays it for you. We're at so holding level at a total of 32 full-time equivalent positions. We have fixed asset purchases of over $560,000. I'll go into those a little more detail. We estimate we'll put about $100,000 deposit to the district's other post-employment benefits trust. That amount can change, but that's what we've earmarked. We've set up the account. We have yet to deposit any money. We have $9.3 million for grant programs. This includes the AB 2766, 923. Those are DMV fees. Carl Moyer, the Community Air Protection Program, and Farmer Programs, and that's basically the last one, is to provide incentives to agricultural operations to change out diesel engines and equipment. We are looking to spend $2.65 million to continue the district's plug in Monterey Bay for charging stations and EV incentives. And then the last number is a ballpark and place mark because we're not really sure what that allotment's going to be yet, but we put in $175,000 knowing it was going to be less than what we received last year, most likely. But I should let you know that we are actually scrambling right now to get leftover monies from other districts that have not been able to provide changeouts in a timely manner. So hopefully we'll get some additional grant funds coming into this agency before the end of the fiscal year. Pie chart, classic pie chart. So the takeaway message here is, so permit fees are a big part of the pie for revenue. The state grants also, so when you look at this revenue, that's DMV fees as well as the state grants, that's a big piece of revenue that we're taking in. We can't spend it all. So you will see that we have a little bit of an overage in our, when we true up our expenditures versus revenue, but that's, we expect to spend all these grant programs down to zero ultimately over the next few years or so. Same here, no surprises, salary and benefits is a big piece of the pie, and then the largest, of course, is pass-through, essentially, of the grant payments, and that's about 49% of the pie. So salaries and professional services, the work that actually gets done, is the second biggest part. So the operating budget, this is our Bible we work off of. We have a total operating budget of $6.3 million. So that's less than half of the total budget. State reserves, state revenues, California Energy Commission for electric vehicles, oil and gas, that's a program we've taken over for the state. Emission inventories, that's also known as AB 197, which is trying to standardize and make consistent how the districts throughout the state of California report their emission inventories of pollutants. The Community Air Protection Program grants, so that makes up a lot of new revenues to the district. As I said, the per capita, that translates to about $33,000, with that 4 cent increase. So our salaries and benefits is sort of a mixed bag. It did increase as much. We thought we'd have some salary savings because we didn't have a lot of our positions fully filled during the course of the year. But with retirements and some of the benefit increases, we're sort of seeing about an increase with the same amount of staff of about $88,000 over the previous budget. So the fixed asset expenditures that I talked about earlier, we're looking at a new database for a 2.25 vehicle replacements at $67,000. Document management software I talked about. Air monitor equipment and upgrades, about $50,000 there. The building exterior painting, $140,000. And then roof repairs, $50,000. I'm trying to get solar here at no cost if we can. And that will be done in tandem with any kind of re-roofing or repair that's effectuated. It's weird, that's the only word that came into my mind at that time. But so non-operating budget, that's the other side of the house. This is mainly the grants. So we're looking at 12.9, so you compare that with 6.3, so it's a lot bigger. So major grant programs, just a list, 2.9 for the EVs along with 400 for the incentives. 923, that's also DMV $2 fee. 1 million for grants, 2.65 million for EV infrastructure projects. Carl Moyer program, 1.3 million. In the past, we were averaging about 800,000 in allotments from the state for that, so we have some extra money to allocate this year. Offsite mitigation grants, this is for the East Garrison project for NOx mitigation. We received a pretty sizable chunk of money for that. We anticipate we'll be granting out $1 million this year for ag pumps, school buses, and we hope to add on to that EV infrastructure as well. Wood stove changeouts I already talked about. We hope to up that amount if possible. And then the new CAP grants and farmer, so that right there is you're looking at almost $2 million additionally. So, and I mentioned the OPEB trust deposit. We have to put that in there this year. General fund balance, so this is also where things go home to roost. So we will have it as of July 1st, 2019. Our general fund will be about $6.2 million. We anticipate we'll be getting about $5.3 or $4 million in revenue. Our expenditures are about $5.5 million, leaving at estimated fund balance at the end of the year of 6.1 or 2 million. Our reserve portion of that of ending fund balance will be about 2.3 million, and the unreserved portion of that is 3.9, 3.8 million. So the take-home message in red, that means we're in a deficit, is the deficit will go down by about $126,000 as depicted in this budget. The state's stationary source permit program will be about $511,000 in the hole, which represents an 85% cost recovery. So in other words, our program is we're only getting fees that pay 85% of that amount. And that's primarily because we did lose some big sources, such as the power plant. The increase in fees this year will help us. That number would have been bigger if we don't have the fee increase or didn't approve that. But this is a touchy program because we want to make sure we're not over-collecting. So most districts set a target level for 95. We're not there yet. But we can easily meet that shortage through use of state in subvention monies as well as EPA grants, of which we get about 300 and 200 and 300,000 respectively. So we don't see any problem making that up. We just can't make a profit. So just to go over what we've done thus far is we've had an initial budget review by the Budget and Personnel Committee. And on those three dates, we met in each respective county for a budget workshop. We did not receive any comments from the public or affected businesses, and we did a considerable amount of outreach for that. May 15th, we are having our first hearing, and then our final hearing for adoption is scheduled for June 24th, and I remind folks that's the following Monday after the scheduled, currently scheduled or previously scheduled meeting date on Wednesday preceding week. So we've arrived at the time for feedback.
Okay. Questions, comments? Pretty smooth. I have a quick question for you, Rich. The off-site mitigation money collected from East Garrison, is there a way that some of those would be used at East Garrison, or is it, you know, lumped into other mitigation funds and applied throughout the boundaries of the district?
It's a really good question. So the answer is that yes, they could be used, but when we first received the mitigation monies, we basically received $2.4 million for NOx buy downs. And at the time we thought school buses and ag pumps were the best way to go. We've pretty much gotten all of those now. So we're actually going back to the county, and this will be in a meeting. We're trying to change that allocation to include EV infrastructure as well. So what I envision could be a good project is if we build a charging facility at East Garrison. So I know that some of those structures are actually stubbed out for charging stations as well, but a neighborhood charging center might make a lot of sense for that type of project.
Any other questions? Seeing none, let's see, let's go to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this item? Okay, bringing it back to the board, there is no action at this time. So we'll move on to our next item on the agenda, which is 13. So go ahead and hold our first public hearing to consider the adoption of a resolution approving proposed revisions to district rules. The moment she's been waiting for.
Good afternoon, yes.
All right.
The moment everyone's been waiting for this afternoon. So I'll be just going into a little bit more detail regarding the fees that we'll be raising this year that we're proposing to increase that are part of the budget. Okay, so we are proposing changes to five of our fee rules. And those are the five rules. And as Rich mentioned, we're looking at increasing them by the CPI, which is 4.5% for most fees. We're not going to increase the gas station fees, and that includes application fees and their annual renewal fees. We're going to increase our hourly staff rate by 3.5% because this is consistent with the rate in the MOU. And then for our asbestos program, we are increasing fees by 10%. And then we're also adding some clarification to some of the amounts of asbestos and how much they cost, because it got a little confusing this year, so we're adding some clarification. And I just wanted to point out on agenda item 64, the fees that we're talking about are this row, estimated revenue permitting fees. So there's three numbers there, permitting, Title V, and asbestos. So those are the numbers that we're talking about that are coming from these fee increases. So what does this look like to our customers? So right now our filing fee is $209. A 4.5% increase is an increase of $9. So starting July 1, their filing fee will be $217. Another example, emergency diesel engines. Today their annual renewal fee is $357. The increase is going to be $16. So after July 1, their annual renewal fee will be $373. And then our hourly staff rate will go from $149 to $154. So just some examples to see what 4.5% looks like. And then as I mentioned, our gas stations will see no fee increase. And then for the asbestos fees, so right now the demolition fee is $422 per structure. The increase will be $42. So after July 1, it'll be $464. The cancellation fee, $149, will increase by $15, will be $164. So examples of what that 10% increase looks like. And then, I apologize, it's hard to read, but we added in some clarification for the larger size projects. So we put in the square feet and the linear feet, so it's clear to the people who are using the fee table where their project falls in terms of how many feet or square feet or linear feet of asbestos that they have, what their fees will be. And then in 305 and 310, we just made some cleanup changes. In Rule 305, we realized that our late penalties didn't match what's in our Rule 300. Cleaned that up so it's consistent with what's in 300. And then in Rule 310, which is our ag engine registration fee rule, there was this language: if you bought your engine before 90 days, after 90 days, it was kind of confusing. So we just said, you buy a new engine and it costs this much to register it. Took out that 90 days. We also added some language in 300 about transfer and interest and name change, because we get all the time, sometimes people change ownership, sometimes they're just changing their name. We're trying to make it consistent because we didn't have a fee defined for what does it cost to change your name on your permit if it's just a name change, like Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Agency went from MRWPCA to Monterey One Water. They want to change all their 50 permits. It's not free for us to do that, so we had, you know, have to have some way to pay for our time to make those kind of changes. So we added some language in 310 that matches the language in 300. We increased the fee for additional new engine registrations to match our hourly staff rate. It was a little bit below that, and it does take, you know, some staff time, at least an hour, to do the records that we need to update to reflect a new engine registration. As Rich mentioned, we had three public workshops in April. We posted all of these changes to the fee rules on March 25th and mailed it out to all of the sources. So we sent out over 1,000 pieces of paper so that they would know about those workshops in April, and we have not received any comments. So today, we're just looking for any direction that you have with our proposed changes.
I think it's been very transparent. Appreciate your presentation. Any questions, comments? Sure.
Let's see, maybe I did. Might have been emergency. It's... Yeah, it's low. It's like $150. So $7 increase. $157,
$160. Any other questions? Okay, to the public. Any comments on this item? Seeing none, thank you, Amy, for your presentation. We'll look forward to you coming back next month so we can act on this. That concludes our meeting. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out. Take a cookie or a burger on the way out the door. And we'll see you next month. I will announce now, depending on how lucky we are with the stork, my wife and I are supposed to have a baby on June 24th, so I may or may not be here for the meeting. We'll see.
Priorities.
I know, priorities. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.